Hello, hello.
Hey, hey, hey.
So it's your week. Your week is approaching.
Yes.
This is the week that you shine. This is the week that you live for.
Thanksgiving is the holiday of all holidays.
Yeah, this is your big day.
This is our time to shine, black people.
Not really. It's just you.
Yeah. No, not just me. It's people across the world, across the diaspora, across the diverse plains of United States of America. Everybody can get involved with Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I mean, I just want you to be clear that, like, this is just kind of like, for you, it's about the food. It's about the food and the family.
It's about family and about food. And also, we always got to honor our indigenous people who lost a lot to create this great nation. But it's a chance for families to just come together, no pretense, no need for gifts, just to fellowship with one another and enjoy a little bit of food. I love Thanksgiving.
So I, just to be transparent, I don't think about indigenous people when I think about Thanksgiving. Mm. Like, I know in school, you make these little feather hats and turkeys, and, like, they tell us this goofy-ass story. But, you know, I think they're more than the novelty that's created in our school systems. And I personally don't like to me, Thanksgiving is a day where you get together with your family and you eat a lot of food. I know what the story is told behind it. Excuse my language again. I think it's a bunch of bullshit. And so I've completely disassociated.
At the same time, I think that, like, when are we going to talk about, like, what's happened to the indigenous people?
No, for
people?
Sure.
Like,
I get it.
So I know there's Columbus Day. They call that Indigenous People.
Yeah, I think more around that is when I think about indigenous people. Like, just to give them acknowledgement. Like, I just think they've made Thanksgiving such a joke in relationship to indigenous people.
Yeah.
Like, we came through, you guys were wonderful. You brought us turkeys and corn.
Yeah,
and
I don't think it was wonderful for them.
We murdered every last one of you.
Yeah, it was not wonderful for them. But I think, like, in 2021, I think it's time to have some real reckoning with what's happened.
No,
like,
facts.
Just thinking about them, just focusing on them in some ways while you enjoy your family.
For sure. And that happens in my space, just not Thanksgiving. But
I got you.
Again, I know it's your day and hope everybody, I mean, so I'm going to ask, what's the plan?
Oh, man, the
what's
plan.
What's the Thanksgiving
it's
plan?
It's a glorious plan. So I've got family in from London.
Okay.
And we're going to have just the New Jersey boomers. Like, the boomer clan is, like, huge. Like, usually our Thanksgiving is anywhere from 60 to 100 people. I hosted it at my crib in 2019, which I'm super proud of to be able to host, because it's been, like, the big tradition in our families to always get together across all the states. And we have boomers all over the South. So we come from as far as Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, as far north as New York City, and folks all kind of converge in one place. Normally we do it down in Maryland, but, you know, everybody, because of COVID, is trying to be careful. Like, there was one of my good friends, they had a family celebration like 2 months ago, and, like, COVID ended up killing, like, three people in that family. And, like, yo, we can't play around. Like, and there's a lot of us in our communities that are not vaccinated. I have people in my family that aren't vaccinated. So, you know, you just got to be careful. So we're keeping it low key, probably be like, I don't know, maybe 20 to 30 boomers at the crib.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? You hosting?
I am hosting by force.
Okay.
I had no intention of hosting, so I hosted Thanksgiving at my home last year. Mm-hmm. Very COVID-friendly Thanksgiving, but it was my, like, first Thanksgiving in my new home. So I hosted. I cooked all the food by myself. Mm. Nice little spread. And I thought it went over pretty well. I thought it went over well enough for me not to have to do it again this year.
Back by popular demand.
I started asking my friends I asked my mom. I said, so what are we doing for Thanksgiving this year? Thinking, like, she was going to take the reins back. And she was like, yeah, I've told everybody it's at your house again.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. Because honestly, I planned on chilling for Thanksgiving. Like, I invited my best friend to come. and we were going to chill. We're not big food people, right? So we don't really rely on the food portion as much. And so then I asked my mom, thinking, okay, I don't know who everybody is. I said, so what type of menu are you expecting exactly? And she was like, yeah, what you did last year was great. Which again was a ridiculous amount. You know, I did the whole thing, like the turkey, the ham, I did all the things.
Come on, keep going. I'm getting excited right now.
So I was a little blown away that that same expectation was put forth this year without me knowing. Then,
but let me ask you one question. I know it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Did it make you feel good to be able to host?
Here's the thing. I don't have anything to prove to anybody. Everybody knows I can host. Everybody knows I can cook.
But did it make you feel good?
It didn't make me feel any type of way. It made me, again, it was something that I wanted to do and I did it. But I guess the part that starts to get a little bit disrespectful is, so my best friend was talking to another friend, a little bit more distant friend, and he was like, yeah, so I'll see you at Thanksgiving. Who told you she was going to be at my house for Thanksgiving? Who told you I was going to be at my house for Thanksgiving? So like it's completely assumed that I am doing Thanksgiving in a large way, similar to last year. And so by force, I think that's the highest Thanksgiving, but
it's the highest compliment.
I have a strong butt here.
What's the butt?
I'm not cooking a damn thing. Let me not say that. I tend to have my cornbread has a little bit of reputation in these streets.
Okay.
So
I'll take some.
I've already been told, like, you've got to make the cornbread. And then last year I outsourced the cakes and that didn't go over well. So I will make the desserts and the cornbread. Everything else has been outsourced by a really great caterer that I know can put his foot in things, as Black people like to say. So, you know, we're gonna have the whole spread. We're actually gonna have a bigger spread than we did last year because I'm not cooking it.
Okay. All right. Well, look, on that note of giving and giving thanks.
Yes.
We should talk today about smart ways to give.
Yes. So this is a show, this is like a historical show, a traditional show for us. We've done this in the past on our previous platform. It's called Smarts Giving.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's very fitting.
Yeah, Smarts Giving. So smart ways to give. I think people oftentimes think about like the very basic ways. I mean, nowadays everybody's begging. So you don't even have to find someone to give to because there's a GoFundMe, there's a something, there's a cause that's thrown into your face. But we think, you know, as financial advisors, there are smart ways to give.
Absolutely.
And that people don't think about, non-traditional ways, ways that, you know, have a better tax benefit, just a number of different things and things you probably just never thought about. So this entire show is dedicated to smart ways to give, better known as Smarts Giving.
Yeah, so today's about charity. It's about doing things to support causes that you care about. And some of what we'll talk about today is about giving away money and assets, but a lot is not about money because not all of us have money to give. So I think when it comes to being charitable, one of the first things you have to think about is like, why do you want to support charities at all? And what types of charities matter to you the most?
So first of all, you got to set your goals, as Alan is saying. And so what are the general causes that you want to support and why, right? And let's be clear about this. Like, giving is very personal. You don't have to explain anything to anybody. It's more just for your own understanding so that you can be strategic and intentional when you give. So again, what motivates you to give? How do you decide which causes or issues you want to give money to, right? You might just have a heart to things, but you've got to decide, I have a heart enough that I want to put some money up, time, or my resources.
I think it's a good idea to, especially in families, like write this stuff down, like come up with a sort of philanthropic mission statement for your family where you and your spouse, you and your kids, you and your significant other, you and your friends can just talk about the types of things you want to support. The reason why I say this is the idea that there's a million different causes, everything from the environment to social justice to education. And you don't want to be in a position, like imagine you've got millions of dollars one day, right? You'll have all types of organizations coming your way. Like how are you going to filter out who you help and who you don't help? And I think if you really sit and think about it, there are some common themes around your philanthropy. So I'm going to put you on the spot, Tiffany.
Like, yeah.
Which types of organizations matter to you the most in your personal giving?
So I'm going to answer that question, but I do want to just say, like, based off of the advice you just gave, I'm not that type of giver, right? Like, in the, I'm going to sit down in a collective group and we're all going to talk about, like, what causes matter to us the most. Like, I've made my money. And I'm going to support who I want to support. And I want others to do that as well. And I don't, it has nothing to do with anybody else for me. I don't need, and again, I'm also not married. I don't have children, so I don't need to get on the same page as anybody else. And that makes me feel really proud personally, like on a very individual level. There are a lot of things that I have to, even though I'm, you know, not married, there are a lot of things that I do have to, you know, partner or speak with someone else, or we all have to get on the same board. And I love that when it comes to giving, I don't have to do that. So the causes.
So get on the same page as yourself for
yes,
a moment. What types of causes do you want to support?
The number one, first one that comes to mind, maybe controversial for others, Planned Parenthood. I've always been a huge advocate for Planned Parenthood. I know a lot of people who I consider to be ignorant don't understand the full gamut of everything that Planned Parenthood provides. And you think it's about abortion, but it's not. It's a safe haven for a lot of women to receive medical care across all fronts and to remain safe and healthy starting at a very young age. So I'm a huge, huge advocate for Planned Parenthood. Also, y'all know HBCUs, I give my money to my HBCU specifically. And now I'm starting to give money to, you know, other HBCUs, but I go hard for HBCUs 100%.
So I'm going to tell you what I heard back.
Okay.
So I heard women's issues, especially related to health. And I'm even hearing about economics when it comes to women.
Yeah.
In what you're saying.
I mean, again, I don't choose to be that broad. Like, it's Planned Parenthood. It's not, because I don't support, I don't have an interest in giving money to all
of course,
women's
but let
issues.
Me just, but let me stay there for one moment, right? There are other organizations I've seen you support that are also
yes
inside of these themes.
Yes.
I'm not taking
always
anything away from Planned Parenthood, but what I'm saying is, like, it's important for us to really come up with our umbrella
yeah
of causes that matter to us.
That's a very good point.
HBCUs is around education. It's around Black people. Like, these are causes that matter to you.
So I'll be a little bit more clear then, right? Because I think you bring up a good point. You have seen me support other organizations outside of just the ones that I've named, right? And I think my common theme is I'm completely in support of making sure women, people of color, people who have been disenfranchised for any reason are healthy and empowered enough to secure the bag. That matters to me. Mm-hmm. Like, and so you're right. I've funded people getting some sort of non-traditional education so that they can make more income for themselves. But I need us to be healthy, educated, supported enough to be able to go forward in life and live the type of life that you want to live, and to be able, again, to secure the bag for yourself and your community.
And so as you're having these conversations with yourself about what to fund and why, the why matters also. Like, there's reasons why you personally chose to focus on those causes,
yeah,
right? And what we're saying is, like, for you and your family, or you and yourself, if you're like Tiffany, like, sit down and really dive deep into your motivations for why you want to do these things. Like, for you, Tiffany, I'll put you on the spot one more time.
Yeah.
Like, why? You told us a little bit about why on Planned Parenthood and why on the women's causes, but, like, why HBCUs for you?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I personally, even though I know they've been there, I think I've choose to not acknowledge them. I've never felt like I couldn't go after what I wanted to in life because I was equipped with a strong HBCU education and foundation. And also because I knew that I could always make sure my health was in a good place because of a Planned Parenthood. Let's be clear. I've always had insurance. Well, as a growing up, okay, you know, that entrepreneur life, there's a moment. But growing up, I always had health insurance through my parents. I didn't have any issues, you know, being able to see a doctor. But as you're developing as a later teen into a young adult, You're afraid to have certain conversations. You're not sure what's happening with your body. You don't want to go to your primary doctor because they know your parents. And so I will be honest that for my entire college career, I went to Planned Parenthood for my physicals, for, you know, my OBGYN experiences, for birth control. I could have gone to a regular doctor. I just didn't want to because I didn't feel like I had privacy. I didn't feel safe. And so again, places like Planned Parenthood and places like HBCUs gave me an opportunity to explore, to feel safe, and to empower myself to make sure that I was okay to secure the bag later in life.
I love it. I love it. And so that's your why, right? For other people, there's other motivations.
For sure.
We also see a lot of clients who had a major life event that, and that might be a financial life event. Like I just, you know, my company went public and now I've got all this money and now I want to give. Sometimes it's a health life event. Like I just had a heart attack that I recovered from and now I'm looking at the world a lot differently. Sometimes it's, you know, I'm now a grandparent and now my grandchild is making me think about this world a little bit differently. But again, all of these different reasons why they matter, and your family should know about them. Whoever you're giving with, if you're giving with yourself, we want you to really take inventory of your whys for sure. So now let's think about the things that you can give.
Yeah, because there are a variety of different ways to give and it's not just money. And honestly, I think people don't think about these things and they're all, I don't even want to say they're all as valuable as money because a lot of them are more valuable than money. So first of all, yes, you can give your dollars, right? You can give your assets. It doesn't just have to be cash, right? It can be stocks. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But there's a variety of ways to give capital. There is time, right? Giving your time. I think this is one of the most valuable ways of giving. That's one of the smartest ways to give. It doesn't cost you a lot of cash necessarily, but it's the most valuable thing that you have. Your talent. If you are able to do something, if you have a skill set, whether it's cooking, accounting, making clothes, whatever it is, you're donating, giving your talent and skills are a huge, huge component to smarts giving.
So other things you can give is your ties, your ties to other people. So recruiting people.
Like relationships?
Yeah, correct. I was trying to keep in the theme of T's. Mm. So time, talent, treasure, ties. Mm. Okay.
I thought ties. I thought like men, boys oh need ties. So no. Your relationships, your network.
Yeah, now we got R's in there.
That's fine. At least
stuff.
People understand what's happening.
I was trying to keep in the Thanksgiving starts with a T. Tiffany starts with a T.
But we're okay. Smartsgiving. We're not even doing Thanksgiving. Okay, we're doing Smartsgiving.
So
we're the S's.
Okay, fine. So recruiting people.
Yeah.
Right? Whether they are potential donors, potential board members, potential volunteers, potential folks to come and donate their skills.
Yeah.
Right? Like you can use your influence to be able to help a charity. So let's keep going with these non-financial things. So we talked about time and skills. What about blood?
That's a thing. People have been asking for that for a long time. So yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is outdated. I don't know like if people even think about how valuable and important it is to give blood, you know, especially to organizations like the Red Cross. It doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't cost you any money.
And you're going to make the blood again.
And I think they give you a cookie. They give you some sort of something to get your blood levels Ooh. Back up. But donating blood really does save lives, right?
Facts.
Like, how many times can you say I saved a life today or I saved multiple lives without having to run through a building, you know, dodge a bullet? Like all you have to do is kind of sit down for 30 minutes and give some blood. And so I think that giving blood is something that people need to be more mindful of. I don't hear about it as much anymore, but I can guarantee you the blood is still necessary.
Oh, it matters. I'll tell you just a quick story. My nephew, I never told you about this, but one of my nephews, he's a baby. He's like 2 years old. But when he was like a newborn, like he had to have multiple blood transfusions and those transfusions saved his life. And like, again, this is something that goes across whether you're black, white, other, like, I hate that I said other.
Other, them others, whoever the others are.
Okay, Latinx, Asian.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not
Indian.
Just black and white. Just, you said it, others.
blood is blood. Yeah. And it can save lives. And it's absolutely something that you can give.
So I have a confession.
Okay.
I've never given blood. I've never given blood, and I don't know my blood type. Mm. And it's funny because I just had a medical exam done, and I said I was going to ask them to please tell me my blood type, and I didn't. Mm. But I've never given blood. I'm not afraid of needles. I don't have any issues giving blood. Again, I just gave blood not too long ago. Like, not gave it, but had a medical exam where they drew blood. But I've never done it. For a while, and this is super corny, like, everybody was like, you can't give blood because you have tattoos. I have several tattoos. And so I was like, oh, man, I can't give blood. But then they were like, no, you can't give blood, like, within the first, like, 30 days. Mm. My tattoos are wild old. Yeah. Like
30-year-old tattoos. I think
I don't have 30-year-old tattoos. But I've not thought about it. So I've never. Have you ever given blood?
Yeah. So I'm on all types of asthma medicine, so they don't accept my blood.
Is that true?
Facts. I tried.
That sounds like the tattoo excuse.
I've shown up, and they've said, because of the medications you're on, we cannot accept your blood. I've tried.
It's other people out there that have asthma issues that need blood. That medication might help them.
What about organs? Are you an organ donor on your driver's license?
Here's the thing. I am. Like, I would like for my organs to be donated. I just don't want them to know in advance, right? Like, I don't want to be in a car accident and then they look at my license and see that I'm an organ donor and try.
It's too early.
Like, don't try as hard because they need these organs.
Need this kidney.
So, like, I don't want anybody to know.
Yeah.
I don't want it, like, I want people to find out at the end.
A delayed organ donor. I just don't want them to take my eyes, yo. Like,
why?
Like, I'm saying I don't want to be, like, I don't know what's happening in the afterlife, but I feel like I might need those.
I just, again, I can easily see me being hurt in the hospital, like, me ending up in the hospital, and they look at my license and they're like, you know what? We've been waiting on a lung or a heart, and her quality of life, who knows, you know? And they just let me take this L from organs are valuable. They cost a lot of money. So I'm an organ donor.
I'm an organ donor.
Here's the thing. The organs that you can, like, live without, I'm down for that. If someone needed, like, what is it, like a liver? You can give up your liver. What is it?
A spleen?
Nah, I'm not. But, like, the other ones that, like, people need and you can stay alive?
A kidney.
I'm down.
Yeah.
Like, people listening, don't hit me up for a kidney. But if someone in my life needed a kidney, I wouldn't even think twice about it.
That's wonderful.
We are going to go to break, but we are talking about Smartsgiving.
You don't have to give your money. You could give a kidney.
If someone needs it, don't just put it out there in the street. You know what I mean? Like, don't do that, but, you know, it's a way, okay? We're exploring always. So stick with this. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Hi. This is Donnie Rose, Chief Content Editor here at The North Star, encouraging you to check out thenorthstar.com every day for insightful, engaging commentary on the stories that impact our culture. The writers at The North Star make it our mission to advocate, mobilize, agitate, and disrupt in the name of creating liberation-centered content. We unapologetically center the narratives of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. We understand that you can get news from anywhere, so we are more interested in offering perspective that speaks to the experiences of our audience. We write freely and with freedom on our minds. We invite you to indulge in our daily editorials and engage in the dialogue that will change the world. Momentum.
So we are still talking about Smartsgiving.
Yes.
Smart ways to give. In the spirit of the Thanksgiving holiday that's approaching, mm-hmm. You know, giving matters. It's necessary. But there's a variety of ways to give. And so we focus on Smartsgiving. So before break, we talked about giving blood, potentially an organ. Again, that's a different type of thing. You can donate your stuff. Like, to me, this is the no-brainer. There's so much stuff. Like, and I literally just mean stuff. People have all types of stuff in their house, in every room, in their basement, in their attic that they're never going to use, that they don't even look at it. Now a lot of it is junk. Like, a lot of y'all need to throw this shit out, period. But,
oh my.
I mean, we all know this, especially Black people. We hold on to things.
It's your language.
You know, oh, yeah. Hey, sorry. Feeling a little bit free because I have more days off coming up. But, yeah, like, people, we have plenty of stuff. And you can give those things away. The things that actually are, like, usable and clean, you can give those things away to a variety of different organizations. People will take clothing, furniture, even cars. Like, mm-hmm. people will take so much even of your stuff off your hands.
Non-running cars.
And yeah.
You can get a nice tax deduction on donating a car. Even if the car's not working, it still has some value that you can write off on your tax return. Just saying.
Seriously. So, like, think about all the stuff. It also can just benefit you and just helping you clean out your house, not having all that mess around, you know, uncluttering some spaces, and just donate that stuff to organizations that will create a better use for it.
Love it. Next, on that note of giving out stuff, what about organizing a drive? And I have to shout out your boy Trix. He recently did.
Yeah.
I gave away all of these turkeys.
Yes, facts.
I love it. Like, you can donate them yourself, or you can rally other people to make donations. Like, I used to throw a party back in the day. I used to throw parties in college.
Correct. Right?
I was one of the top party promoters in the 90s
at
Morgan State. But we used to do, like, a toy drive party where folks, in order to get into the party, you had to give a toy or you paid full price admission, and we would donate both the toys and a portion of the sales proceeds at the door. We kept the bar, but, you know.
So that's beautiful. I'm not a driver. I'm not a drive person,
personally.
I have not had positive experiences in giving things away. People just don't seem, you got to be in a receiving spirit, and maybe I haven't tapped those markets correctly. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a drive. Like you said, my homeboy Trix, he just bought like 100 turkeys, just went into Walmart and bought a bunch of turkeys, or got with a distributor and bought a bunch of turkeys, and then just stood outside of a place randomly that wasn't set up. Shout out to not getting arrested. And gave out turkeys.
I love it. Like Nino Brown.
Yeah, exactly. I don't get well received in those type of spaces.
You get judged?
People just don't want mine. Like, it's like, was she, I don't know, maybe I look shady. I don't know.
Does turkey look nasty?
I don't know.
No, but that's not true, because we went to our guy Jamil McLean's.
No, I was like one of 45 other people, and they were mostly NFL players. No one was paying me any mind. But when it's just me solo, it doesn't go over well. But the next one on our list, this is my thing. I get busy on this one. Raising funds. So you can have, like, whatever you need to do. For some people, it's posting something on social media, having an actual physical fundraiser, creating some sort of walk or event where the proceeds go towards raising funds for an organization.
Something like Morgan Takes Manhattan.
Shout out to us.
That we did in 2019.
2019, we did Morgan Takes Manhattan, which was a huge undertaking. But
we raised $16,000 for our favorite HBCU.
Yes, and we also gave our Morgan students and alumni an opportunity to watch the Thanksgiving Day Parade from our Manhattan office when the Morgan State University Band was participating.
The Magnificent Marching Machine.
Yes, and so we allowed them to watch the parade in the sanctity of our building, right, while it's not cold outside and there's no traffic. And we also provided breakfast.
Come on, son.
Okay?
Yeah, and I will say, like, look, it wasn't a big, like,
I mean, we got a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm saying it wasn't like a big expense out of our pocket. Like, we paid, you know, some money, a couple hundred, maybe $1,000 in terms of setting everything up. Because we sold tickets and we used that for the donation. But we raised a lot of money, and I think we impacted a lot of lives and really just rallied people around the idea of giving back to Morgan State.
So I'm going to put you on the spot really quickly.
Yes.
I would like to do another fundraiser next year.
All right. I'm done.
I would like to do another fundraiser next year in Martha's Vineyard. So we've done an event in Martha's Vineyard in the past that went over extremely well. Again, it was in support of Morgan State University. It was during Morgan on the Vineyard.
New Jersey's right here.
Yeah, we did. No, I would like to do. We're both going to be at Morgan on the Vineyard next year. I'm now saying these things in kind of a Debo type of format. Mm. We should do a fundraiser. I would like for us to do a fundraiser. So y'all hold us accountable to this.
But didn't you get mad when they forced Thanksgiving down your throat? Now you're just forcing a fundraiser? Never mind. We'll talk about this.
I don't have an issue.
Offline.
Listen, okay. It worked. How about that? They forced it and it worked.
Okay.
So, but I personally, I am a fundraiser. I participate in fundraisers. I've been on the board of fundraisers. I love a fundraising moment. I think I am great at getting people to write a check. And so I get busy on the fundraising.
Okay. Point taken. Okay. We'll do a fundraiser.
Hey.
I didn't say where it was going to be, but I'm down. I'm down because, you know, I love the kids.
The kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So next, let's talk about our normal shopping. Like Christmas is around the corner. Hanukkah is around the corner.
Christmas time is where I get busy.
You see what I'm saying?
That Thanksgiving is yours, but I don't even know if y'all are ready for these Christmas podcasts that are about to drop.
So nowadays, there's a ton of businesses that you can support by buying things, and then they turn around and give money to charity. They turn around and do things that match your philanthropic goals. So we're going to go over just a couple because there's a million of these companies out there. These are like companies that either have a double bottom line, meaning they're about making a profit and also impacting the world, or they're just big companies that allow their customers to put money aside for a variety of philanthropic needs. So we'll talk about a couple. So we'll start with Whole Foods. Whole Foods gives you the chance to donate your 5-cent reusable bag credits to a local organization. I like being local. Next, we have the State Bag Company. This is a company that if you buy a bag from them, they'll take another bag, fill it up with school supplies, and give it to a local student in need. They also support issues like mass incarceration or the fight against mass incarceration, the Flint water crisis, and also Black Lives Matter.
That makes me think of the Feed Bag. Do you remember the Feed organization?
Of course.
Yeah. And
that was Howie Buffett.
Yes. Right. And so they created all types of apparel and kind of random paraphernalia. And I know a lot of those proceeds went towards issues in the continent of Africa.
I love it. I love it. There's also Leesa, L-E-E-S-A, not Leesa like my cousin, like the girl's name, L-E-E-S-A. It's a mattress company. And for every 10 mattresses they sell, they donate one to a nonprofit organization. And those go to folks that are in need, folks that don't have beds and might not have good homes.
Another thing that I think about, a company that I think about, is Bombas Socks.
Yes.
So I know that when you purchase socks from them, I think with every sock you purchase, they give another pair of socks. And in the homeless community, one thing that people overlook in their giving is socks. And so I think that's very like boots on the ground. Mm-hmm. And again, just a very simple thing that's often overlooked, but extremely meaningful.
There's also Black and Bold. Black is spelled B-L-K and Bold. This is a Black-owned coffee and tea company where 5% of their profits goes towards supporting organizations that do things like support at-risk youth, that really just do things around social justice in the Black community. They've also got a big partnership with the NBA. So they're a great company to support for your coffee and tea.
Yeah, there are a variety of other organizations and companies like Everlane, Third Love, All True, Wild Fang. It's all these compound words. Warby, the glasses company, BarkBox. Look some of these up, right? Like there's a list. This list literally goes on and on forever. And I think the point that we're trying to make is that if you just alter your regular shopping just a little bit, we're not asking you to buy anything that you wouldn't normally buy, but in your buying, you could also be giving.
Love it. Love it.
Other ways to give, there's a such thing as employer gift matching. So some employers offer matching gifts, meaning they will match some or all of your charitable donations that you give to a variety of organizations. Now, you have to ask your boss or your HR department or your employer about this, but this may be something that they're offering that you're not even aware of. Maybe it's not publicized, or again, maybe they just don't talk about it as much, but ask, and maybe it's something they've never thought about, but maybe you ask your employer, hey, you do, you know, retirement matching, you do all these different things. What about employer gift matching? Would you be open to doing that in this holiday season?
Yeah, we might do that at Momentum in the future. That's a goal.
One thing that I think about, again, is my own personal bias, HBCUs, right? Like ask your employer who has some sort of, I'm sure, cause-related bottom line, who is doing all types of diversity and inclusion initiatives right now.
Well,
I give to my university or I give to HBCUs in general this much. Are you willing to match that?
Come on.
Right? That's not any additional money out of your check, but you are having double the impact on what you were already willing to do.
On that note, there's also companies like Facebook where they do their annual giving day where Facebook will match your gifts. So looking for matching organizations, maybe it's your employer, maybe it's somebody else.
So this next one, I think it's just gone.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to really fill us on this one.
Yeah, let's just say it and
just
move on.
You know, you could donate your tax refund.
You just cursed everybody out.
Here's the thing.
We just lost so many listeners.
Now, I know for a lot of people, like, that tax refund is like Christmas. That's when you get that new furniture. That's when you pay for that vacation. You know, that's when you get that engagement ring. But for others who are not really counting on this money, they're like, listen, you know, a tax refund, it is what it is. It's not something that is going to make or break me. Mm. You could consider, you've already given that money away, right? Like you've already given that money away to the government and they're giving it back to you. It's a rebate. It's like a rebate on what you already gave away. So why don't you just keep giving? Just keep giving it away.
Okay.
And donate it to an organization.
All right. Send the hate mail to Tiffany. The last one on this list of non-financial things to give is, what about your credit card points?
So here's the thing.
You can give away those.
I think this is great. But people use these credit card reward points as excuses for why they spend money on their credit cards. I don't now need you to see yourself as being charitable by running up your credit card bill that you're not able to pay off. But I do agree. Reward credit cards will let you donate your cash back, your points, your miles, whatever it is, directly to a charity, right? And sometimes, even if that's not an option, you still may be able to just redeem them and pass them off to a charity. But it's not an uncommon thing. I don't want this to drive you running up your credit cards,
yeah,
right? Because that is a financial deficit that you're creating for yourself. That's not something that we want to see you doing. But again, you might already have a rack of points or miles or whatever that are just sitting there that you don't really care about, that you don't really use. Consider donating them.
So now let's talk about the money, because we've been beating around the bush for a long time, right? We think that giving money is a really good thing to give also. Did you know that you can apply restrictions to your gift to make sure that the organization uses the money for the thing that you really have the money in mind for?
So something very interesting. Me and my best friend, we are working with another group, I think like a really wonderful, interesting group, because they want to give. And they want to give to an organization and a community that they are not a part of, right? And so we're a bit of a conduit for them into that community. And we have said to them, you've got to put some restrictions on this. You have to define to the organization how and when they can use this money. And they were blown away. They were like, well, you know, is that really giving if you're telling people what to do? And it's like, it's not about telling them what to do. It's about making sure your intention is met with your gift. And so putting, again, directly to the organization, I am giving this money and I am putting these restrictions around who or what or why people receive these funds.
Yeah, one of the big things about this is that there are organizations that have really big operating costs, right? Like I think about the Red Cross, for example.
Who gets in trouble all the time because of their operating costs.
Yeah, their CEO makes millions of dollars a year. And some might say that he or she deserves that pay. I don't know. But let's say you don't want to fund the salaries of the executives at the nonprofit. You really want to make sure your money goes specifically towards the Haitian relief effort. Like you can put that sort of restriction on any gift to any charity. Now, look, they might decide not to accept the money, but most will accept it. And particularly if you're giving to a college, you might say this is specifically for scholarships. Or if it's enough money, you might say this is specifically for scholarships for students who fit a certain criteria.
Exactly. And so I think we should all be more mindful around putting restrictions around our gifts. Again, not to be in a power struggle, not to be controlling, but as we talked about in the beginning of the podcast, you've got to know your why. And so you want to make sure that your money is hitting your true why and not just falling into an endless pit where it could be used for any and everything. We want to make sure your money has the impact that you truly want it to have.
So let's talk about some giving vehicles. Like, these are structures, these are strategies that you can put in place to really amplify your giving, to give you some various tax treatments and whatnot. So the first strategy that we'd like to give is the notion of giving stock instead of cash.
So interestingly enough, I don't know if you guys follow Fat Joe, but lately Fat Joe has been giving away stock. Just randomly on social media. Like, he does, I think people know, like, he does these Instagram lives, and it happens multiple times a week where he's just talking to the people in mass on a variety of different platforms. I don't know how this started. I don't follow him that much, but I do know, like, he, for people who are reaching out, he is giving out Amazon stock. He's giving out a variety of stock just for people hitting him up. I think it's extremely unique, but I think it should be more common, right? Like, we listen to these radio stations, and you can, if you call in and you're caller 19, you can win $500 or whatever. But what if we're just giving out stock for a variety of reasons? So one, I just wanted to say that's a very interesting thing that's happening right now. But on a bigger level and being more intentional with your own portfolio, you can work with your financial advisor or work directly with an organization to give stock.
Now, here's the math behind giving away stock. And first of all, this has to be in a brokerage account. This can't be in your IRA account to get these tax benefits. But imagine you bought, let's say, Amazon, since you gave the example. Let's just say, and I'm making up stock prices here. Let's say you paid $100 for Amazon, and now it's worth $1,000, right? You could give $1,000 to the charity and get a $1,000 write-off. Or you could give $1,000 in Amazon stock to the charity. Now, the benefit financially and tax-wise of giving the stock is that you're still getting credit for giving $1,000 away on your tax return, but in reality, it only costs you about $100, right? So that's kind of like an amplification of your gift because it really didn't cost you all that much. That's the first point. The second point is that if you sold that Amazon stock, you'd have to pay tax on a $900 gain, and that tax could be 20% to the federal government plus another 5 to 10% to the state.
Right, and y'all are always looking for ways to avoid paying taxes anyway.
Yes.
So you can do it through Smarts Giving.
For sure. So if you give away the stock, you no longer have to pay those capital gains taxes. Now look, some organizations are not set up to receive stock, but it's really not that hard to get them set up. Send them to your financial advisor. Send them to, you know, tell them to go out and do the work. But like, we've helped nonprofit organizations set up brokerage accounts so that they can receive stock. We think it's a great way for folks to give.
Yeah. Another way to give, which is like on some major legacy type of thinking, is giving through your estate, right? And so if you've done an estate plan, if you have a will, if you're working with an estate attorney, you could include in your plans giving a portion of your assets upon death to an organization, right? A lot of, you know, is it Bill Gates? I know Bill and Melinda Gates have some sort of plan in place in their estate plan. Your boy Warren Buffett, he already said he's not giving his kids pretty much anything. And so he plans on giving all of his money or most of his money away when he passes away. That's included in his estate plan. A lot of times I think people think like you've got to be a million billionaire in order to do this level of giving in your estate plan, but that's not the case.
Yeah, you can just add it to your will. You could add a charity as a beneficiary on your life insurance, or a portion of your retirement account can be dedicated to a charitable beneficiary instead of just a person. So there's a lot of ways to put charities into your estate.
So I can tell you, it's not written into my estate plan currently, but the beneficiary of most of my business, most of my assets, period, the beneficiary of most of my assets, I have made her aware with any of the money that she receives in my untimely passing and business equity, you know, to distribute it amongst whoever's still alive that I care about and do what she wants with the rest and whatever's left over to please give to Planned Parenthood.
I love it.
I will have given Morgan plenty of their money before I pass away, so they don't need any of my money after I'm gone. But I do, it does matter to me to that point. Like, whatever's left after everybody gets what they need, I need to go to Planned Parenthood. So again, estate planning, you can think about the organizations that you want to give to and make that a part of your legacy well after you're gone. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
We are back.
Yes.
I mean, so far, I think we've done a great job of
We're killing it.
Talking about a variety of ways to give, different organizations and companies to give to, how to do it, you know, how to do it at a low cost or no cost to you or a lot of cost. But it's important for us to just understand or make you guys understand that giving, especially during this season, is something that we should be thinking about. Hopefully you're thinking about it on a regular basis. We want you to understand how much you have to give, even if you don't have money or capital.
Love it. Love it. So we were talking before the break about structures and strategies, right? So we talked about estate giving. We talked about giving stock. We talked about really just a number of ways to give. But let's talk about the folks that now have a little bit more coin, right? They might have thought about creating a foundation for their family, right? And people do this for a lot of reasons, right? People do this for their egos. They do this just to unify their family.
So I do just want to give a disclaimer, right? The way of giving we're about to talk about for me is practically one of my favorite responses when people are like, I'm about to start a 501c3. Like, I'm about to start a whole nonprofit organization, right? Just because they want to give. They think that's the only thing, that's the only thing that they can do to be able to give in a major way or in an ongoing way. I got to start a whole charity, which is a lot of paperwork. It's a lot going on. People often get in trouble for misappropriating funds for things they weren't even aware of when they're still trying to do the right thing. My response every single time is, how about you do this?
So the this that Tiffany's referencing is a donor-advised fund. A donor-advised fund is a very inexpensive way to create a family foundation without actually creating a foundation, without actually creating, as Tiffany mentioned, your own 501c3 or your own private foundation. Because again, to your point, Tiffany, which I think is a good one, if you create a whole new entity that is a nonprofit, you're going to have a lot of folks to answer to. You might have to create a whole board of directors. You might have to be forced to raise money from the public every year. You'll be forced to give out a certain amount every year.
Right.
You'll have to do tax returns.
Bylaws that you have to adhere to, as Alan mentioned, with this board that's now essentially telling you what you can and can't do with money that you just kind of wanted to give away or with an initiative you just wanted to create. And I know it doesn't even have to necessarily be a family foundation. It can just be your foundation mm-hmm. that you've created, again, without having to do the whole new entity and the 501c3. And for a lot of people, as Alan mentioned earlier, that's ego, right? Well, here's a way without all the paperwork, without getting the IRS involved in any super major way, that you can do the exact same thing with really, really great tax benefits. And hopefully your ego is more focused on the giving than it is like the whole other, I got a 501c3.
Yeah, because you don't have a 501c3.
You don't.
The public has a 501c3. Like, you can't own a 501c3, but I digress. So a donor-advised fund, write that down. That's a really inexpensive way to create your own foundation. Really what you're doing with a donor-advised fund is you're going to a charity that's already an established 501c3 and you're saying, hey, can you put a little bank account aside for me, just for me, with my name on it, where I'll give you the money or the stock, I'll get the tax write-off, and you'll hold it for me. And when I decide that I want to support a specific charity, I need you to now cut the check on my behalf, right? So that's the simplicity of a donor advised fund. So the first thing you do is you find the sponsoring organization. Second thing you do is you contribute the assets, whether that's stock or cash. And making that donation, you get an immediate tax deduction right there on the spot. The reason I like this strategy is, let's say there's a year you're getting a big bonus, or your company's being sold, or you have an unusually high amount of income for one particular year. Why not create a donor advised fund, put all the money you plan on giving away anyway for the next 5 years into that fund, get that tax write-off up front, and then you can give away the money whenever you want down the road. And the other thing about a donor advised fund is that the money can be invested. So let's say you put away $10,000 into this fund, you get the $10,000 write-off. Down the road, those investments in that fund could grow, and now maybe you've got $15,000 to give away. And you can give it away over the course of the next 30 years, even though you got the tax write-off in year one. You can create your own little informal committee if you want, right? Like, you can get your kids together and say, kids, why don't you guys come together and decide which charities we want to support each year? But there's no requirement that you have a board of directors, no requirement that you file tax returns and all these other things that are difficult when you have your own 501c3 that you've started.
Yeah, and you can continue to contribute to this donor advised fund, right? Like, if you put up a lump sum the first time, it's not it, right? Like, you can continue to contribute to it. And again, it's just about you being able to determine how and when you want to distribute money to who in whatever increments you want to, but receiving the tax benefit up front. You can also put rules and restrictions in place with the donor advised fund, right? Like, you can determine which organizations get money, how much they can get based off of what they're doing during a particular time. And the other thing that I really love is that a donor advised fund can live beyond you, right? Like, yeah. If this is some sort of family fund, or maybe it's a friend fund, maybe it's a colleague fund, maybe it's just a bunch of people who have gotten together with like-minded interests who are putting money into this organization and are working together to give money away, again, with a nice little tax benefit. But once a person passes away, maybe the person who created the donor advised fund passes away, it can live on beyond them. And if you put these rules and restrictions in place, you can be sure that they will continue to follow the things that are important to you after you're gone.
I love it. We've helped a number of clients set up new donor advised funds in the last 12 months, and they're super excited about the chance to get their kids involved in the giving. I even helped my own dad create a donor advised fund a few years ago, and not that he's got billions of dollars, but you know, he wanted to be able to support some religious organizations. He wanted to be able to invest in affordable housing, and we did that using the donor advised fund. There's a lot of ways that you can do it. Like, we created the fund and just called it the Boomer Family Foundation, right? And we called it that, not the Andrew Boomer Foundation, that's my dad's name, but the Boomer Family, because he wanted us, the kids, to be able to get involved in managing it in years to come. One other little thing that a donor advised fund can do, which I think is very cool, depending on who the sponsor is, you might be able to lend money to nonprofit organizations. Right now, you might be wondering, why would you want to do that? Why wouldn't you want to just give the money away? Well, if you give it as a loan, now there's some accountability, right? Like, that organization can't just go out and spend that money willy-nilly. They might need to now invest that money in a way that makes a return, so that they can pay that money back to the donor advised fund.
Right. And the reason why you would want them to donate the money back is not because you're cheap, but it's so that you can redistribute those funds to other organizations.
That's a fact. And you always have the option to forgive the loan. Like, but again, this loan ability with a donor advised fund, where you're loaning money to a charity, it just provides some additional accountability, as Tiffany mentioned, the ability to recycle the funds in the future. You know, the reason why we did a loan in the case of my dad is we were supporting a church. And what if a new pastor comes in and wants to give himself a big raise, right? We wanted the ability to claw back some of those funds in the event that, you know, things didn't go the way he wanted them to go. So there's some restrictions around donor advised funds too that have to be talked about. Like, the organization that's sponsoring the donor advised fund, right? Like, the nonprofit who is holding this fund for you, they can only distribute money out to 501c3 charities, right? So let's say you put money into this fund and then you want to pay for college for your cousin. They might not be able to fund that because you can't just write a check from the donor advised fund to your cousin. it has to go to another charity, right? So there are some restrictions that you need to look into, but we love this type of structure. So we have only like two more minutes left. There's some more complex structures that we could spend a lot of time on, but I don't think they're going to apply to a lot of people. But there are structures like the Charitable Remainder Trust or the Charitable Lead Trust, where if you've got a lot of assets, you can create a structure where you designate a pool of assets to go to charity, but while you're still living, you get income from them. So let's say you had a big pool of stock and you wanted to keep earning the dividends, but at your death, the charity gets what's left. Like that's the idea of doing one of these charitable remainder trusts or charitable lead trusts. But that's it for structures and strategies. I think we've given a whole lot of great ideas today on Smartsgiving. Before we go, Tiffany, I got to put you on the spot again. You talked about your organizations. Are there any others that matter to you that have invested in you that you'd want to highlight today?
Like any organizations that have given to me in some way, shape, or form?
Facts.
Yeah. I mean, of course. So, you know, growing up, I was a part of an organization called Inroads, which provided internships and job training, executive level job training at an early age, and just gave you exposure to companies and career paths. And I think that was very meaningful for me and just being exposed to what opportunities were out there. So yeah, I mean, I think about an organization like Inroads, even though I wasn't a part of DARE, my father was. My father's a retired detective. He was like a lead DARE detective. I don't even know if DARE is still a thing. I just think people do too many drugs. Like, I think drugs is just way too popular of a culture in our culture right now. And I think it needs to be dialed back. Not because you're going to die or become, listen, I know weed and all, everything is cool, but like, sometimes I think it's like inhibits our ability to grow and like be productive. And so I just need people to know, like, you don't got to be on drugs all the time. And then lastly, I think about like the YMCA, not like the actual facility, like these, I think they're just called the Y now, but like the Y, these facilities, these gyms, these recreation centers where people can go and feel safe and become healthier or just be more active or meet more people or be a part of just small groups and make friendships. I think those have fed into me.
So for me, since you asked, Inroads was one of the first organizations that invested in me. The Consortium for Graduate Study and Management is an organization that helps minority college grads get into business schools and helps them to get fellowships to pay for business school. The Robert Twigo Foundation helps, again, college grads who want to get into business school and study finance and work on Wall Street or work in technology. The Robert Twigo Foundation is really meaningful to me. Morgan State University is incredibly meaningful to me as well. And then finally, some charities that friends of mine have started. Beat the Streets Baltimore is a great organization in Baltimore, started by my homeboy, Lydell Henry, that is trying to teach kids about life skills in the format of wrestling training and STEM training. Any other charities, Tiffany, before we wrap up?
Nope, because we have to go. So we will be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.